So good to see you tonight. Let's talk for a few minutes, huh? All right, I'm going to talk and you're going to listen to me talking. Let's redo how we're going to do that. Yeah. So, yeah, it's me, myself, and I, not last week. When you go to a concert, whose responsibility is it to ensure that you have a good time? That was a question. That's fine. You can answer. So some different answers. Generally, we think when we go to a concert that it is the band's job to perform in such a way that we have a meaningful experience at the concert, particularly if we're spending $30, $40 on a concert, then we want it to be meaningful. The same thing when you go to a movie. When you spend $10 for a movie, you count on that movie to be worth your while. You want to walk out having had a good experience. How about if you go to a party? A Kaiapa party. What if the university sponsors a mixer and go have bowling and billiards down in the basement? Whose job is it to ensure that you have a good time? President Bardo, he is failing miserably. May the Lord be glorified in his life or something. God bless President Bardo. Whose job is it? Whose responsibility is it that you have a good time if you go to a party? It's a little bit more 50-50 there, right? Like a party host is supposed to have some games to play and some pumping music and some things to keep you entertained. But if you go with a rotten, crummy attitude, it's going to be no good, right? So you're on the hook some for having a good time at the party. So what then about this? When you come here on a Tuesday night, whose job is it to make sure that you walk away with a meaningful experience? Like, you're going to want it to be me, right? You're going to want me to bring these words of wisdom that knock your socks off. You're going to want Philip to be up here singing with his angelic voice in such a way that you are before the very feet of God? If you find this a meaningful experience already, whose job is it to make it more meaningful than it already is? Right. I don't think it's mine. Now, I think I am on the hook for some, right? God has me here. You are my responsibility to him. I am responsible to him for you. But if you come in here with a crummy attitude, then there's not a lot that I can say. If you come in here with a bad attitude, there's not much that Philip can do to try and convince you that he has an awesome lineup put together to take us right into the presence of God. Does that make sense? Now, I take it seriously. I take it seriously what I'm doing. I'm not kidding around. I'm not playing games. This is my life. Right? I want this to be meaningful for you. But I'm limited by you. I pray a lot. I seek his voice. I seek what he would have me to say to you. And I try and do everything that I can. But your responsibility is just as large. And if you walked in here tonight without a thought as to your hunger for God, if you walked in here tonight with distractions on your mind, with frustration in your emotion, then whether or not tonight is meaningful is on you. Now, I'm calling you to open your minds to something a little bit larger than Tuesday nights, but Tuesday night is a good jumping off spot. Firstly, I want to encourage you to be here whenever you can. Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Now, while I cannot contend that Tuesday at 7:30, God shows up here and he's not anywhere else, I can't say that, because that's not true. But I can say that I believe there's something significant about being here together. There are a lot of places in the Bible where it says, when you show up with more than just you, God shows up. Right? And the Bible already knows that God is everywhere. Okay? So it's not being redundant to say that. It's saying that there's something special when people meet together. And there's something special about when we meet together and are consistent in it. Because relationship develops and relationship builds and gets deeper and stronger. And life becomes more meaningful together than when you're off by yourself. Now, I've had special moments where God has touched me. And I've had an awesome encounter with him when I've been sitting in my bedroom just by myself and God. But I've had just as many special moments in a setting like this, where I say, God, it's Tuesday. Chi Alpha is going to happen, and I'm going to give you that 2 hours because you matter to me enough to say I'm going to sacrifice whatever else I want to do or whatever else I could do for spending time with you. Now, you guys are on par because you're here, right? So that's great. But there's something significant about doing it consistently and always saying, God, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, I will be choosing you in this moment because it makes a difference for me. But it's not just about having a good moment for you. Because when God brings us together, you're impacting the people around you. And as the verse says to us, there are people here who need you to encourage them. They need you to care. No matter what, no matter what's going on in your world, they need you to care about them. Because God can't come down from heaven and give us a big hug. Well, he could do anything, but that's not how God rolls. So he put Oscar here to give me a hug and make me chuckle a lot. We're hitting tough times. Projects, midterms, tests, term papers, government shutdown, right, yeah. And there's this satanic temptation out there that says you are gonna get creamed if you don't separate yourself, batten down the hatches, and focus on what you need to do. And we get wrapped up into it, and so we get into our cocoons because we think that if we just focus more, if we just get other people out of the way, we can get done what we need to get done, and everything will be perfect and better. It's stress keeps going up and up and up. We don't sleep good. It's demonic. These moments are the moments that you desperately need words of encouragement. They're moments that you desperately need somebody to put their arm around you and say, you can make it through. And there are times that you desperately need to seek more of him and less of you. Because he can do way more and better than you could ever do on your own. Now, I'm not saying forsake studying. I'm not saying forsake reading your book and preparing for your tests and doing your homework because, well, Matt would be grumpy. He's a professor. All the other professors would be grumpy. But that's not the only reason that I'm not going to say that. Because I think that God wants to be honored in your studies. I think God wants to be lifted high in how you do in school. But we are never supposed to forsake the meeting of other people for some stress thing that this world is bringing your way. We are never supposed to give up spending time with Christians being encouraged and lifted up. Now, there are some things that aren't, like when we have a game thing on next Tuesday, or not next, the Tuesday coming, fall break. If you have homework, that's one thing. But when we're getting together to worship God, when we're getting together to hear from his word, when we're getting together to grow in him, there is nothing in this world more important than that. I know that putting God first brings everything else in line. The Bible promises it. Seek first his kingdom. And all the things that you would worry about will be taken care of. I believe the bigger problem is time management. Doing dumb things at dumb times when we should be making a better use of that time. And then we freak out when we get to time for the test the next day and are like, I haven't studied at all! Maybe if you'd thrown your computer out the window and not been on YouTube, playing Farmville 2 on Facebook, thank you for not sending me any Farmville 2 requests. Mostly old people. While you're going through these tough moments, you can look around and know that your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, are walking through it too. And they need a positive word. We can get through this. We're going to make it. You pray for each other. And all of a sudden, there's things like joy in the midst of midterms. There's peace in the midst of exams. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is but where we hide in our cocoon, get in our turtle shell and shut out everything else, there's stress and worry and concern and the feeling trapped thing. And that's not for you. There's this thing in Philippians. I like Philippians a lot. Chapter 2, it says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, of one mind, and do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I have never used this passage in regards to meeting together and having fellowship. But man, it's perfect. It's perfect. And it's perfect for this season. When I hear the excuse time and time again, I've got to study. I've got to study. I've got to study. I can't hang out. I've got to study. No. I mean, yeah, but don't let it stop what God wants to do to give you victory in the tough time. It's easy for you to say you don't have any studies. But I did! I have a degree! I didn't miss a Tuesday night to study. Do I say that to make myself look great? Well, I mean, if it does. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, y'all follow me as I follow Christ, right? I'm telling you, it can work and be okay. It can work and be okay. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to stress. You don't have to age every day of October. Because of your papers. Because of your exams. Because your professor doesn't get it. But Tuesdays are only just a piece of this puzzle. A meaningful spiritual life, and a meaningful life in general, isn't going to be found because you come to Chi Alpha for an hour and a half every week. Or maybe you go to church too. You should go to church too. And so you've got 3 hours a week that you're spending seeking after God. If I spent 3 hours a week focused on my wife, talking to my wife, that would not go well for us. Right? If I listened to my kids for only 3 hours a week, that wouldn't even be enough time to do their homework some weeks. Right? She's six. It's ridiculous. Anyways. This God thing is not to be relegated to these couple of special times a week. God promises something in James 4. Not that James, but a different James. He says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. It doesn't say, come near to God every Tuesday at 7:30. It doesn't say, come near to God every Sunday morning or Saturday night. It doesn't say, come near to God at 7 a.m. when you read your Bible every day, and he will come near to you anytime. There's this thing that Paul says that blows my mind and breaks me every time. He says, pray continually. Impossible, maybe. But what a goal. What a goal to spend more time thinking about God and less time thinking about you. Chesterton, I think I might have said this a couple weeks ago, Chesterton says, how much larger would your life become if you became smaller in it? Let that sink in, because that's like smart talk from the early 1900s. How much larger would your life become if you became smaller in it? We get so wrapped up in what is due and what has to be done tomorrow that we lose what we're here for. I know what it's like. We have soccer practice and soccer games, and we have church, and we have a couple of nights to spend together as a family. There's stuff going on, and then I have you people that I try and hang out with and spend time. And there's always something to do. Don't be trapped in that. Don't be a slave to your schedule. take a moment and breathe. And say, God, just come rescue me. Come spend time with me. Lift my eyes out of this garbage. And let me see the most glorious being in the universe. Right? Doesn't that sound better? Garbage, most glorious being ever. Garbage, most... Is this... The greatest news of it all is that this is what God wants. Ephesians 1. God has Paul write this. For this reason, ever since I have heard about your faith in the Lord and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's in 15. Ephesians 1:15. My Spanish friends, what up? In Spanish, they teach you there are two words for to know. One is saber, and one is conocer. We use saber when we're talking about if you know how to hit a baseball with a bat, or if you know how many liters are in a gallon. Data. Stuff. We use conocer, a better translation is to be familiar with. And that's the translation here. That you would be familiar with God. But not that you would know the stories about God. Not that you would know the things that God is doing. Not that you would that you would know the things that God is going to do. But that you would actually know God. And know him better. And then that you might know him better. And then that you might know him better. All of that wraps up into this concept of that is what it looks like to have a meaningful life. To have a meaningful day. When you lay your head down on your pillow, you've had a meaningful day if you have gotten to know him better and you've gotten to serve him. Because that's what you're made for. You're not made to be an accountant. You can be an accountant. But that's not your primary function. You're a part of something that God wants to do in this world. So last week, we were talking about sort of finding God's will for us, right? Anybody remember that? Chirp, 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 chirp. Thanks. There you are. And the sum thought that I left you with is the idea that finding God's will isn't about finding your profession or finding your spouse or finding out what you were supposed to do for your life, but it was about finding out where God was moving and doing stuff in your life, glorifying him. You start to do that. And every church service you go to will have more meaning than it ever had before. Right? Every encounter you have with another human being will have more meaning than it has ever had before. When God is at the center of your thoughts and everything that you're doing, and you're looking for him, and you're looking for how he's working and what he's doing, and you're asking him to use you to do more, and being open to him, then you're right on target for why he put you in your mama's womb in the first place. Does that make sense? I want to challenge you. To look for those things. And then I want you to... share those things with somebody. Maybe it's a text, if you're Matt, if you're anybody else. Maybe it's on the Chi Alpha Facebook page. Say, here's what I saw God do today. And then we get to see it and rejoice with you. And the testimonies of what God is doing in the little things in your life. I had a flat tire, but somebody was there to help me fix it. Right? I was really scared about that test. I didn't study like I should because I went to Chi Alpha last night. But I got an A. Or a B. Something that, by the grace of God, you did not deserve. Right? Does that make sense? Are y'all tracking with me? Are you here? I desperately want for this to be meaningful for you guys. I don't want you to be wasting your time here, and I don't want to waste my time here. Right? We can play games, and we can be silly, and we can hang out, and we can do things like that. But these moments are intended to be transformational moments. They're intended that when you walk out the door, you're better than when you walked in the door. I mean, you're all great when you walk in the door. But there's so far to go for us to be like Jesus. There's so far for us to go. And if we could do that, if we could grab a hold of that, if we could say, God, that's what I want from my life. I want more of you and less of me. And this place gets turned around. These seeds get filled. Lives around you get touched. Miracles happen. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound like something that would be worth chasing after? Or you could be content. And you could not grow. I got these peppers, right? Or that's probably not as good. I got this tomato plant. We have two tomato plants. One tomato plant's great. It's given us like 8 tomatoes so far. This other tomato plant has this one growing on it. Right? And this one tomato has been growing on this tomato plant since before the other one started growing tomatoes. And it still has this one, and it's not growing. Do you know how stupid I think that tomato is? It is a foolish tomato. It is not doing what I planted that plant to do. And it makes me grumpy. Because I know that it could be like the other tomato plant, which is giving me all these great tomatoes. What about you? God has a beautiful path for you. A path to make a difference. A path to be significant. A path that when you lay your head down every night, not just when you die, but every night, that you feel like your day mattered. And when you lay down and you go to sleep and your day didn't matter, then it's wasted. In your face. Also, in my face. Not just you. Does that make sense? Can we feel a little challenged by that? What are you going to do tomorrow? How are you going to look at your day tomorrow? Are you going to look at your day tomorrow like you looked at your day today? Because if so, then I'm sorry that you've listened to me for half an hour, and it didn't make a difference. Let's pray. I'll be quiet. Father God, what a privilege to know you, to be able to know you, to be able to come to a place like this and know that you want us to know you more and better, and that you put these people around us to encourage us, and so that we can encourage them, and so that when we have a time like we do tonight, that it can be meaningful, and that it can count for something, and that we're not just wasting a couple hours of our time. God, we're grateful that you are a God like that. You are not a God who sits on a throne looking down like we're little ants running around and you're saying, ooh, look at how they dug that tunnel. No, you care about what we're doing and whether or not we're effective and whether or not we're living the way that you made for us to live and doing the things that you made for us to do. You are an awesome God. So many days we're not worthy of you. Not even close. But your love is so infinitely big that it doesn't matter. The smile on your face at the thought of us never changes. You are worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. And more than that, you're worthy of all of us and all of our time and all of our, and all that we can give. Father in heaven, help our hearts to be right. Help our minds to be more on you. Help our actions to be more glorifying to your name. Help us tomorrow to not drop the ball. Help us to go to bed knowing that what we did that day mattered. Help us to find the moments that are beyond what are scheduled and that are beyond what are on paper and care about somebody. To not do anything out of selfish ambition, but to really value others higher than ourselves. God, write it on our hearts tonight. Write it on our hearts that we might not forget. Spirit, I welcome you. Convict when we're screwing it up. Convict when our eyes are on us too much. And then give us the strength to turn it around. Father, I thank you for these moments. And as we go to start to worship you and to lift you high and to proclaim our love and honor to you and God, I pray that your spirit would fill us with your song, with your thought, with your mind, with your eyes. That it wouldn't be just us and our thoughts and what we think. That it would be so full of you that a presence of God is felt in this building and on these sidewalks and in this place. Because we are lifting high the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be magnified with these next moments, God, for your glory. We love you so much. Amen.